يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين أبريد الله سبحانه وتعالى and he's the only one worthy of praise. I seek his help, his guidance and his forgiveness. I believe in him and I trust him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seed of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the court of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The worth of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Al-Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Al-Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability, fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. After this, I greet you all with the greeting of Al-Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and the blessing of Almighty Allah be with you all. And I would like to welcome all of you in this series of explanation and authentication of Kitab al-Tawheed by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahmatullahi alayh. And the authentication comes by Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Arnaout. And today's class constitute class number 12, album number 2. And today chapter 21 from Kitab al-Tawheed. Again, our class today is concerning chapter 21, page number 86 in Kitab al-Tawheed, and our class today constitute class number 12 in album number 2. And usually what we do that we read the chapter in Arabic and after this we read the chapter in English and after this we authenticate and give the number of the verses that came in the chapter. And after this we go to give explanation and details about the chapter from the book called Al-Qawl al-Mufid ala Kitab al-Tawheed, the beneficial saying which is a comment on Kitab al-Tawheed by Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayh. So with our chapter today, chapter 21, باب ما جاء أن الغلو في قبور الصالحين يصيرها أوثانا تعبد من دون الله. روى مالك في الموطأ أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: اللهم لا تجعل قبري وثنا يعبد. اشتد غضب الله على قوم اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم مساجد. ولابن جرير بسنده عن سفيان عن منصور عن مجاهد أفرأيتم اللات والعزى؟ قال: كان يلت لهم السويق فمات فعكفوا على قبره. وكذا قال أبو الجوزاء عن ابن عباس: كان يلت السويق للحجاج. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال: لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم زائرات القبور والمتخذين عليها المساجد والسرج رواه أهل السنة. فيه مسائل: الأولى تفسير الأوثان، الثانية تفسير العبادة، الثالثة أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يستعذ إلا مما يخاف وقوعه، الرابعة قرنه بهذا اتخاذ قبور الأنبياء مساجد، الخامسة ذكر شدة الغضب من الله، السادسة وهي من أهمها معرفة صفة عبادة الله التي هي من أكبر الأوثان، السابعة معرفة أنه قبر رجل صالح، الثامنة أنه اسم صاحب القبر وذكر معنى التسمية، التاسعة لعنه دوارات القبور، العاشرة لعنه من أسرجها. والله تبارك وتعالى أعلم. So in شاء الله now we're going to be listening to Brother Najm al-Din and he's going to be reading the chapter for us in English in شاء الله.
Chapter 41. Exaggeration in the graves of the righteous persons tends them to become idols worshipped besides Allah. Imam Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, recorded in his book Muwatta that the Prophet, blessings and peace be upon him, said, O Allah, never turn my grave into an idol to be worshipped. Allah's wrath intensified on a people who turned their prophets' graves into masjid. Concerning the verse, quote, have you then considered Allat and Al-Uzza from Surah number 53, Ayat 19? Ibn Jarir At-Tabari reported from Sufyan, from Mansur, from Mujahid, he, Lot, used to serve the pilgrims by preparing sawik, that is, fine flour of barley or wheat, mixed with water and ghee for them. After his death, the people began to stay and confine at his grave for the purpose of reward. The same was reported by Abu Jawza, may Allah be pleased with him, from Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him. Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, reported, Allah's messenger, blessings and peace be upon him, cursed the women who visit the graves. He, blessings and peace be upon him, also cursed those who set up mosques and lights over graves. This hadith has been confirmed by Abu Dawud, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and An-Nasi. Important issues of the chapter. Number 1. Explanation of idols. Number 2. Explanation of worship. Number 3. The Prophet, blessings and peace be upon him, did not seek refuge in Allah except from that which he feared would occur. Number 4. The Prophet's joining this supplication, which is, O Allah, never turn my grave, with taking the graves of prophets as masjid. Number 5. Mention of the intense wrath of Allah on those who indulge in such activities. Number 6. Of most importance is the description as to how the worship of Lot, one of the major pre-Islamic idols, was started. Number 7. The knowledge that Lot was the grave of a righteous man. Number 8. Lot was the name of a person buried in that grave, and the mention of the meaning behind the idol being named such. Important issue number 9, curse of the Prophet, blessings and peace be upon him, on the women who visit the graves. And important issue number 10, the Prophet's curse upon those who put up lights on the graves.
In this chapter, we find the first hadith, which in the collection of Imam Malik, his book called Al-Muwatta, and Sheikh Al-Albani, rahmatullahi alayhi, had authenticated this hadith. So the hadith is sahih, which is saying, O Allah, never turn my grave into an idol to be worshipped. As for the statement from the Book of Allah, أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّةِ, have you then considered Allat and Al-Uzzah? This Surah An-Najm, Surah number 53 and verse number 19. Again, the first verse that showed in this chapter, from Surah An-Najm, Surah number 53, verse number 19. The next hadith that comes in this chapter, reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had cursed women who visit the grave and put candles on the graves, and this hadith has some weakness in it, although that is considered authentic as other narration came with other versions. This hadith, which reported by Ibn Abbas concerning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed the women who visit the graves, in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, An-Nasa'i, and Ibn Majah. Sheikh Al-Albani, rahmatullahi alayh, he had authenticated this hadith without utilizing ittikhaz al-suraj, utilizing candle over the grave. Basically, this is the verse and the hadith that came in that chapter. Our chapter today is concerning بَابُ مَا جَاءَ أَنَّ الْغُلُوُ فِي قُبُورِ الصَّالِحِينَ يُصَيِّرُهَا أَوْثَانًا تُعْبَدُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. What had came in the Book of Allah and the authentic Sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم concerning exaggeration towards the graves of the righteous people, that eventually will turn it to be an idol worshipped instead of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This chapter, it has a relationship with the previous chapter, chapter number 20, that we had discussed last week. When his wife, the Prophet wife sallallahu alaihi wasallam, told him about the church that she saw it in Abyssinia, and how the people, they put pictures in the church, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her about those people, when a righteous person die among them, they will build upon him a mosque, and they will make an image and statues for him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her that those are shirar al-khalq, they are the worst kind of people. So this chapter, chapter 21, has a relationship with chapter number 20, because it talks about exaggeration, too much praise, too much visitation, too much love. It turned the graves of the righteous people to become an idol that worshipped and adorned and respected to such a degree that turned to be a form of worship instead of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, exaggeration, which means a person to transgress, transpass to go beyond the limit that has been drawn by Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This kind of exaggeration will turn eventually the graves or those people in the graves to be worshipped instead of Allah. As we understand, graves in Al-Islam of the Muslims in general has rights over us. Number one, that we did not disrespect the graves of the Muslims by sitting on the grave or walking on the grave or anything like this. We have to respect those Muslims who are buried in their grave, although they are dead. So we did not sit on their graves. We did not walk over the graves. The second right of those people who are buried in the grave, that we did not exaggerate in them. We did not go beyond the limit that had been drawn by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi, that Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he said to Abu al-Hayyaj al-Asadi, أَلَا أَبْعَثُكَ عَلَى مَا بَعَثَنِي عَلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَلَّا تَدْعَى تِمْثَالًا إِلَّا تَمَصَّ وَلَا قَبْرًا مُشْرِفًا إِلَّا سَوَيْتَ. This hadith in collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi under the chapter of funeral, that the Ali, the cousin of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his son-in-law also, he said to one of the Sahaba by name Abu al-Hayyaj al-Asadi, should I command you or send you in a mission which is the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and send me in a similar mission? What it is? Don't leave any statues except that you this figurate, and don't leave any grave which above the ground unless you make it even. Okay? If you don't mind, Brother Hamza, because this is, if you want to lean, you can use any of this door, any of these walls. So what is the mission the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Ali for it? And also Ali is sending somebody else to do the same thing. Beg this statue, this idol. If you see any idols, okay, maybe it's too much to break it, but at least what? Disfigure it. Don't you understand? Make it to have this honor and respect. Okay? And the second thing, if there is any grave which is high beyond one hand space beyond, okay, over the ground, so do what? Make it even with the ground. Al-Qabr al-Mushrif, okay, a qabr which is high, that means is distinguished from the rest of the graves. It must to be level down. So the people do not think that there is something special about this grave. Maybe the people do not think about it now, but eventually, later on, a second generation will come and see this grave is above the ground. They will think that this is something unique from the others. And this will become as a means of exaggeration, and eventually will be taken to be a way to be worshipped. Alright? When it says the graves of the righteous people include the prophets, the awliya, the saints, if we can use this term in Islam, okay, or any person in Islam, okay, being mujahid, being a righteous person, being a prophet, being a messenger, okay. What is the wasan in Arabic or in Islam? What is idols? What is statues? Okay, anything that been established and been erected for purpose of worship. Purpose of worship. Doesn't matter if it's a statue, if it's a building over the grave, if it is a mosque, if it's what kind of, any kind of figure, right? Even if it's a banner or a flag, anything been erected and became honored and worshipped, it became a wathan. Okay? Here is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith making dua, appealing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying, Allahumma la taj'al qabri wathanan yu'badu ishtadda ghadabullahi ala qawmin ittakhadu qubura anbiya'ihim masajid. O Allah, never turn my grave into an idol to be worshipped. Allah's wrath intensified on a people who turn their prophet's grave into a mosque. La here is for purpose of supplication. Okay? Don't, O Allah, I ask you, I beg you, that don't let my grave, don't allow my grave to be turned, to become an idol, to become a thing to be taken, to be worshipped, to be honored in a way that is not pleasing to you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had appealed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this supplication from knowing about what happened to the previous nations and the previous righteous people and what had happened to their graves. As a result of this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the same thing not to be done to his grave. And this is to show you that this deen, al-Islam, is about tawheed, about manutheism, about oneness of Allah, to be the only one to be worshipped, not anything else. And this deen came to be a war against shirk and polytheism and partnership. The saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اشتد غضب الله. Okay? Allah's wrath intensified. Okay, ishtadda ghadabullah. The ghadab, ishtadda, that means became so great, so serious. Okay, so strong, intensified. Ghadabullah, the anger of Allah. The anger of Allah. And this is the true quality to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gets angry, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has anger, and there is no any a similarity between the anger of the creation or the creatures of Allah and the anger of the Creator Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no similarity in any of Allah's attributes and the attributes that possessed by human being. We did not say like those people who alternate or deviate or turn and switch the words of Allah, and they say the revenge of Allah. Okay? Allah said the anger of Allah. Because revenge is something different from the anger. And maybe the revenge comes as a result, or the punishment comes as a result of the anger. So there is something called anger, and there is something called punishment, and we could not switch words to try to run away from, try to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a human being. For sure Allah is not a human being. For sure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing similar to Him. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had affirmed to Himself, we have to affirm it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gets angry, and Allah punished, and Allah take revenge. So anger is a real quality that we affirm it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with whatever fits with His majesty. We affirm this quality to Allah in a manner, in a way fits His majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no any similarity between the anger of Allah in its reality or in its result and the anger of the human being. The human being, when they get angry at the zombie, he found his blood boiling, his face changed in color, and this comes as a result of the shaitan throwing this fire in him. Okay? As for the anger of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the quality has no similarity with what happened to the human being. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Ash-Shura, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Nothing resembles Allah, and He is all hearing, all seeing. So Allah has negated the similarity between Him and the creation, and Allah also in the same verse has affirmed that sam' and the basar, the hearing and the seeing to Himself. So we have to understand both things. There is no similarity, but in the same time we affirm what Allah has affirmed to Himself or His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Indeed, the anger of the human being is not a good quality, or the result of the anger of the human being is not something good. Some people, when they get angry, they break glasses, they maybe kill people, they may divorce their wives, okay? It varies from a person to person. As for Allah's anger subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing comes as a result of this except something good. Okay? Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish the criminal, this is not a bad quality now. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse or take revenge or punish a person who is committing shirk, this is not a bad quality. Anger and its result in the human being bring about bad results. But the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to Him, Almighty, is a good quality. Because He punished those who deserve punishment. So indeed the anger of Allah, which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about it in this hadith, and also there is many, many verses in the Quran talks about the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No similarity between it and the anger of the human being, not in its reality or in its quality, neither in its impact and its result. And if we derive such quality to Allah, does not mean we are saying that Allah is similar to the human being. We describing Him with a quality which shows His ability and His strength, and His power, and His mighty, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also to show you that those people who give such a tafsir, that anger of Allah does not mean anger, but it means revenge or punishment, The statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Umar, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Zukhruf, verse 55, فَلَمَّا أَسَفُونَا انْتَقَمْنَا مِنْهُمْ. When they got us angry, we took revenge from them. So there is two things that Allah had affirmed in this chapter and this Surah Al-Zukhruf. He said, فَلَمَّا أَسَفُونَا, when they made us, mean Almighty Allah, angry, we took revenge in them, okay? We punished them. So the term asafuna means aghdabuna, made me angry. So in this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had distinguished between anger and the what comes as the result of the anger. What is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking here about ghadabullah? Why and to whom and what happened? He said, "Ishtadda ghadabullah ala qawmin ittakhadhu qubur anbiya'ihim masajid." The anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intensified on people who turn the Prophet's graves into a masajid. اتخذوا قبور انبيائهم مساجد. اي that means they made out of the grave a mosque by building upon it, over it, or by praying there, even if they did not put a physical instruction there, but by praying there, now you took the grave as a mosque. So praying by the grave, this means that you took it as a mosque. And and building upon it, this also another form of taking it as a mosque. Now, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answer the dua of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The answer came from Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi. Indeed, Allah had answered the call of His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No one ever mentioned that the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam been taken as an idol. Indeed, there are three walls been built round the grave of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No one can reach the grave. Okay, no one can reach to the grave, and even the grave is not directed to the Qibla. So when the people is making Salah, the grave is not in the Qibla. Yes, it is true that some people exaggerate in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but never ever anybody was able to reach to his grave. Perhaps there is some people, they worship the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in some place else. As example, sometimes you may see some people, they turn to the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when they want to make supplication, which is not the proper adab. In this case, this person is taking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam grave as a weapon or as an idol. But as for the qabr, it's not been taken as a grave to be worshipped. Here from Mujahid, and Sufyan, and Mansur, and Mujahid, أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى. This is a term which came in the verse in Surah An-Najm, Surah An-Najm, which is Surah number 53, verse number 19. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, have you then considered Al-Lat and Al-Uzza? Ibn Jarir al-Tabari reported from Sufyan, from Mansur, from Mujahid. كان يلط لهم السويق فمات فعكفوا على قبره. اللات from the verb to lit, okay? Like mixing the flour with water and start to mix the dough and the mixture to make it a dough, to make a bread. And this is the name of a righteous person, okay? And see how it turned from to be a righteous person to be a name of an idol, statue. The name of this statue that exists in that time that the Quran is talking about it, in actuality, or the originality of this is to be a righteous person. In the old time, in the previous nations, he used to be a charitable person. He used to make bread and serve it for free for the people who come in to make Hajj. He used to serve the pilgrims by preparing sweet, okay? Or making soup, or fattoros, all right? Like this Egyptian dish. They put the dry bread with the rice, and they pour soup on top of it, and became a little bit mixture with this soup. Is a delicious dish. So basically, like somebody who making charity, especially for those people who come to visit the house of Allah. After his death, the people began to stay and confine at his grave. Alright? So now, after he died, the people start to have something for memory, to remember this good man, the righteous person, his good deed, to become some kind of, what you call, to give them some kind of encouragement, to carry out his sunnah and his practice. But from generation to generation, this is change. Okay? So now instead of became a memory, a picture, now it turned to be an idol and a statue, and not became a memory again, it became people come and sit beside the statue, look at it, admire it, what you call meditate. And later on, another generation starts the people to do what? Instead of doing this, now they take another step, try to make tawaf around it, touch it, kissing it, and now it came a generation to call upon this Allah, which is a statue, used to be before a picture, used to be before a righteous man doing a good deed, but how things take, you understand, step by step until it led the people later on to become a idol to be worshipped instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi said that those people had exaggerated. And they went behind or beyond the limits that have been described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result of this, they said this is a righteous person, this is a good man. He used to give the food for free for the pilgrims. And after this, eventually, later on, little bit by little bit, they worship him. So he say, look, how exaggeration in the graves turned to be an idol to be worshipped instead of Allah. As a result of this, we see our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam warning the people against building on the grave or raising the grave above the ground or writing on it like what you call a headstone or something like this. They call it a headstone, tombstone, and special stone, and they pay, you understand, Allah knows best how much, $50, $100, I don't know how much, and they gave and write on this stone, Sansor, Sansor, born in Tachir, died Tachir, and maybe they write his PhD degrees to be in what? Whatever it is they write, okay? So it says this is part of the exaggeration. To build on the grave, or to have a, what did you call it again? Tombstone, okay? So the Prophet ﷺ warned against all the things, so the grave not to be turned eventually to be worshipped instead of Allah, instead of Allah. Shaykh ibn Usaymin rahmatullah alayhi made a nice comment here by saying, look how so strange. The people during time of Jahiliyyah, they used to honor and make hospitality for the people who come in to make Hajj. Okay? And this one of them, this Alat, he used to make hospitality for the Hajjis. And also like Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ before even he became a Muslim. Okay? He used to water and give free water to the people who come in to make Hajj. And this is done in Jahiliyyah before even Islam. How those people in Jahiliyyah used to honor and respect and welcome the people who come in to make Hajj and giving them free water, free food, free all the things. Accommodation, whatever they can to do. Al-Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, he used to give them water zamzam. And sometimes even he used to put raisin and other things in the water, okay, to make it more sweet for them. Look to the present time. Nowadays, people absolutely the opposite. They take advantage of the people who come in to make Hajj. We seek Allah's refuge in this. To such a degree, sometimes they sell to them whatever equal 1 riyal, 2 riyals, okay? And sometimes even more than this. And indeed this is very bad and it's wrong. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in Surah Al-Hajj, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ نُذِقْهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Okay? Allah is saying in this surah, Surah Al-Hajj, verse number 25, whosoever attend, okay, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ, not that whosoever doing, whosoever intend to do something wrong in the haram, we shall give him a great punishment. Okay? So the Shaykh say, look, Allah say, whosoever intend or think about doing this, can you imagine the person who actually is doing it? Okay? If you only think about doing something wrong in the haram, you will be punished for this thought, because this is the secret place. Can you imagine if somebody actually doing something wrong inside the haram? This is something very serious. اللحن هو الطرد والإبعاد عن رحمة الله. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying in the next hadith, which reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم زائرات القبور. What is the word curse? As comes, we see it in this hadith. Allah's messenger cursed the women who visit the graves. What is the word curse? He said, لعن curse mean to put somebody in distance and away from the mercy of Allah. Okay? Does not mean you understand you telling him a bad word. This means a curse. A curse means that this person had committed such act. As a result of this, he became a distant from to be showered by Allah's mercy. And لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that mean the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم had made dua, supplication to Allah on such person to be cursed, that mean to be what? to be set a distance from Allah's mercy, not to be covered with Allah's mercy. قوله الثين زائرات القبور جزاك الله خيرا برادر عمر Thank you very much. زائرات القبور Women who visit their graves. It is a plural for the word Zaira. The word Zaira, the plural of the word Zaira. And Ziyara is visit here to go out to the graves. There are types of Ziyara. There is different types of visitation. Number one, which is Sunnah. And this visitation of men to the graves so they can take a maw'idah. They can receive admonishment themselves. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. And also to make dua for the deceased one. To make dua for the dead one. It says this is ziyarah is Sunnah. Okay, it's recommended. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended for men to go to the graves. For what purpose? To seek help from the dead one? To go around the grave? No. They go for two purposes. One purpose is for themselves, when they look to the graves, they will remember that one day I will be dead. One day I'll be here in the dirt like these people. So when you come back, now the dunya becomes small in your eyes. And now whatever hatred, whatever bad feeling in your heart about whatever it is, it's gone. So the visitation of the grave, it's soft in your heart. The second reason or the second purpose of visiting the grave is to make dua, supplication, asking Allah to help those people who are dead in the grave. Allahumma aghfir lahum, Allahumma arhamhum, or Allah forgive them, or Allah shower them with your mercy. The second type of visitation to the grave is bid'ah, innovation, which is to visit the grave for purpose of reciting Quran or asking Allah something for you, but to be there beside the grave. So it means a person who goes to visit the grave, now he feels that there is something special about this grave. So he is not calling on the people on the grave, but he makes this as a, to be a good place for you to make your dua or to make your recitation of the Quran. Say this is bid'ah. The third type of visitation, which is shirk. Okay, to associate partner beside Allah. And this when a person goes to visit the dead people, to call upon them and to seek their help and refuge from them. This is shirk. Because instead of calling in Allah, now you're calling in Sidi Sheikh so and so, which is dead and he could not even hear you. And even if he is alive and if he can hear you, he could not help you because you're asking him something that is not in his mighty or in his power. The Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi said, وزائر اسم فاعل يصدق بالمرة الواحدة. زائر, visitor, is a subject, a noun for the doer of the verb, which he can apply to the person even if he do it one time only. In the hadith of Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, which is the collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, and it is authentic, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَعَنَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Abu Huraira said, لَعَنَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ زَوَّارَاتِ الْقُبُورِ. لتشديد الواو جوا رأس القبور، وهي صيغة مبالغة تدل على الكثرة أي كثرة الزيارة. It's a hybrid, another narration from Abu Hurairah, which is authentic in the collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi ibn Majah, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed Zawarat of the grave. And Zawarat means women who are frequent visit their grave. Okay? Repeat their visitation to the grave, a lot of visitation. This is say with the tashdeed, putting the stress on the waw, the wa. So say this is the formality of repetition of action, many visits. And also the Prophet say وَالْمُتَّخِذِينَ عَلَيْهَا الْمَسَاجِدِ. And this what we hear talking in the hadith about those who build a mosque over it. Okay? And by saying building a mosque on the grave, it has two categories or two ways. One, that you pray there, or that you build a house or a building around it. So any of them will be what name that you are taking masajid. So somebody say, we did not have a mosque there, but for you to go and pray there, you are taking it as a mosque. قوله السرج جمع سراج. Surj is a plural of word سراج. That means those who will kindle fire, lamp, candle, anything light, any form of light, as a formality of honoring such a grave, okay, and respect. And this is a form of exaggeration. هذا نوع من الغلو. The Sheikh رحمة الله عليه said, وهذا الحديث يدل على تحريم زيارة النساء للقبور. This hadith shows that visitation of women to the graves are forbidden. Never let this hadith is said that is from كبائر الذنوب, from the major sins. That because لعن and curse, it doesn't occur for any small minor thing, but only for major things. Also the hadith shows that writing over the grave or taking a mask on the grave also from the major things. And the doer of such a thing be cursed by Allah. Now after this, the Shaykh Rahmatullah alayhi had went in an issue which may take at least another 15 minutes to debate the issue between the conflict, or what may appear as a conflict between the first hadith, Zairat, and Zawarat. Because the first hadith, if we utilize that hadith, that means visitation of grave to the women is absolutely haram, is forbidden. If you go by the second hadith which reported by Abu Huraira, Zawarat, that means it is permissible for them to visit, but they could not use it as a habit. And I don't know if I should get now into this issue. But with all respect to the Shaykh and his knowledge, may Allah bless his soul and send mercy on him, what I incline towards more is different from what the Shaykh is saying. Not I'm saying that I'm greater than him or better than him or no better anything than him, but I incline towards the other hadith, which is saying the wara, and that there is a possibility of the irat al-qubur, those who may go and do something haram there, or they did not go in the proper hijab, or they go there and wailing and saying things that is not pleasing to Allah. There is many things that maybe the hadith can apply to it. And what made me strongly take a different opinion from the Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi, and bless his soul with mercy, that women, they need admonishment like men. And women need to soften their hearts like men. And women, they go through the same hardship and difficulty like men, and their heart can be hardened. And they need this kind of reminder and soften their hearts. And this can come as a result of visiting the grave. So if the woman, this according my personal understanding, which I took it from the other hadith and the other scholars that adopted this opinion. What I was saying? There's a point that I was talking about and made me escape what I was... Anyway, so as for the women that will go there in not having the proper clothes, especially like in our country, that we see how women, they make this became a za'id, okay? They go every occasion, like every Farad day, and in za'id, the feet, the first thing they start with is visiting the graves. So they turn their feet to be a day of sadness. Because after coming back from the grave, now they remember their mother or their sister, whosoever they just met. So it's not a proper thing. And it is the habit of some women, they go and they start commemorate and start weeping. And some of them, the shaitan, take over them in such a condition like this. They start taking dirt and put it in their head, and some of them start to understand do things which is not Islamically right. So I believe strongly, and Allah knows best, and may Allah forgive me if I'm wrong, that if the woman went in the proper hijab and she did not travel in distance without a mahram, and she went in the proper way and she conducted herself according the sunnah and the proper visitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that inshallah there is no harm in this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. And maybe inshallah in a different occasion we can put the opinion of the Shaykh and see how he debated both hadith. Other than this, inshallah we see from this chapter that we just finished, chapter 21, how that exaggeration in the grace of the righteous people can mislead and eventually can be a means and ways of people committing shirk. So we have to understand that even the grave of the Prophet, the grave of the Messenger, the grave of the martyr, the grave of anyone, it has to be like any other grave. And not to be honored, not to feel that there is something special there, okay? Because this is not something bleeding to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for now, inshallah, we'll continue to chapter 22. And this is going to be in page number 88 from Kitab al-Tawheed. And inshallah, we'll follow the same method by reading the chapter first in Arabic, and after this we go into the English, and after this we make reference to the verses that came, as well as also the ahadith, and authenticate them inshallah. باب ما جاء في حماية المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم جانب التوحيد وسده كل طريق يوصل إلى الشرك. Maybe does anybody have any question before we go further? Okay, one second. You have a question? Okay. If anybody have any question, brothers and sisters, Quran and Sunnah website, before we go to the second chapter. Okay, alhamdulillah. I think it's self-explanatory, doesn't need to go to any. Okay. So we have one question here on the internet, and we have one here in the floor from the masjid. Okay. Go ahead. Yeah. We're talking about the holy city, which in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. This is where the Muslims go to fulfill their obligation towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the pillars of Islam called Hajj, pilgrimage, to go to visit the first mosque been established for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the worship of Allah. Okay? So this city, or what you call it, the holy city, is haram, it's forbidden certain action to be done there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made a person who commit a sin in this place worse than any other place. Question on the internet, go ahead please. Okay. Sister want to know, it's haram to have a tombstone. Okay, subhanallah. We just mention a whole chapter about exaggeration, and this is a form of exaggeration. First of all, this is a waste of money, because you're putting your money in something which is not useful for the dead person, neither it is useful for the family of the dead person. We're supposed to leave this money for his family to benefit from it, okay? This is one thing. So you're wasting money in a stone which is not beneficial. No benefit in it for the dead person or for the family of the deceased person. The second thing is, this is not the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't do it. Neither the Sahaba nor the Prophet had recommended. So you're doing something different from the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the third thing, which is the worst, this can be leading to a shirk, because this is a problem, exaggeration on the grave. By writing, building, lighting over it, it became a means of honor and respect, and later on became a means of exaggeration. Any other question? Thank you. Okay, chapter number 22 in Kitab al-Tawheed. قال الله تعالى لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تجعلوا بيوتكم قبورا ولا تجعلوا قبري عيدا وصلوا علي فإن صلاتكم رضي الله عنه انه رأى رجلا يجيء الى فرجة كانت عند قبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيدخل فيها فيدعو فنهاه وقال الا احدثكم حديثا سمعته من أبي عن جدي عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تتخذوا قبري عيدا ولا بيوتكم قبورا وصلوا علي فإن تسليمكم يبلغني حيث كنتم رواه في المختار. فيه مسائل، الأولى تفسير آية براءة، الثانية إبعاده أمته عن هذا الحمل غاية البعد، الثالثة ذكر حرصه علينا ورأفته ورحمته، الرابعة نهيه عن زيارة قبره على وجه مخصص مع أن زيارته من أفضل الأعمال، نهيه عن الإكثار من الزيارة. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. الثالثة حثه على النافلة في البيت. السابعة أنه مقرر عندهم أنه لا يصلى في المقبرة. الثامنة تعليل ذلك بأن صلاة الرجل وسلامه عليه يبلغه وإن بعد، فلا حاجة إلى ما يتوهمه من أراد القرب. التاسعة كونه في البرزخ تعرض أعمال أمته في الصلاة والسلام عليه عند الله أعلم. Brother Najm, please. Inshallah, we're going to read now the chapter in English. I will hold it.
Chapter number 22. The protectiveness of Al-Mustafa, blessings and peace be upon him, of Tawheed, and his blockading every path leading to Sheikh. Allah the Most Exalted said, verily, there has come unto you a messenger, Muhammad, blessings and peace be upon him, from amongst yourselves, that is, those whom you know well. It grieves him that you should receive any injury or difficulty. He, Muhammad, blessings and peace be upon him, is anxious over you. To be rightly guided, to repent to Allah, and beg him to pardon and forgive your sins, in order that you may enter paradise, and be saved from the punishment of the hell fire. For the believers, he, blessings and peace be upon him, is full of pity, kind, and merciful. But if they turn away, say, O Muhammad, blessings and peace be upon him, Allah is sufficient for me. La ilaha illa huwa. None has the right to be worshipped but he. In him I put my trust, and he is the Lord of the mighty throne. From Surah number 9, Ayat 128 and 129. Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated that Allah's messenger, blessings and peace be upon him, said, do not make your homes graves. Do not make my grave a place of celebration. Send your salat, your blessings, graces, honors, and mercy on me. Your salat will be conveyed to me wherever you may be. Abu Dawood recorded this hadith with a reliable chain of narrators. And Ali bin Hussein narrated, he saw a man at a space that was at the grave of the Prophet, blessings and peace be upon him, and he would go in it and supplicate. So he, Ali bin Hussein, prevented the man and instructed him, saying, should I not tell you a hadith which I heard from my father, who in turn heard it from my grandfather, Ali, blessings and may Allah be pleased with him, who reported from Allah's messenger, blessings and peace be upon him. He said, do not take my grave as a place of celebration, nor your homes as graves. Make salah, blessings, graces, honors, and mercy upon me, for your salutation, meaning asking safety from me, will be conveyed to me wherever you are. This is from Al-Muqtada, the collection of Imam Al-Maqdasi. Important issues of the chapter. Number 1, explanation of the verses in Surah Bara'a, Tawbah. Number 2, the Prophet, blessings and peace be upon him, did his best to keep his ummah far away from the boundaries of shirk as far as possible. Number 3, the Prophet's concern for our well-being and success, and his compassion and mercy. Number 4, the Prophet, blessings and peace be upon him, forbade visiting his grave in a certain manner, though visiting his grave is among the best of deeds. Number 5, the Prophet, blessings and peace be upon him, forbade us making excessive visits to his grave. Number 6, his urging to perform voluntary prayer in the home. Number 7, it is established among the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, that offering salat in the cemetery is prohibited. Number 8, the explanation for the person's invocation of salat, blessings, graces, honors, and mercy, and salam upon the Prophet, blessings and peace be upon him, is conveyed to him, even if he may be far away. So there is no need of what some misconstrue as a necessity to be in close proximity to his grave. Important issue number 9, he, the Prophet, blessings and peace be upon him, is in al-Barzakh, where the salat and salam of his ummah are conveyed to him.
This chapter, chapter 22, concerning how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi, he utilized one of the titles or description of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which al-Mustafa, the chosen or the selected one sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of all those who have been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the best among all the messengers. He is the best among all the prophets. Okay? And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the best among all the righteous people. This chapter concerning how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so concerned to protect the tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for him to try to close all avenues that it may lead to shirk, and for people to invoke other than Allah. So although that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried to protect the tawheed, this was not only by building a wall around it, but also by try to close anything it may lead to shirk. That because shirk is a great sin, the greatest of all sins, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had stated in Surah An-Nisa, Surah An-Nisa, women, verse number 48, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't forgive for somebody to commit shirk with him. And Allah will forgive whatever lesser than shirk to whom he pleases. Okay? Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi said, الشرك الأصغر لا يغفره الله. Minor shirk is not forgiven by Allah, because the general statement of Allah in this verse, أن يشرك به, Allah doesn't forgive anyone, okay, to associate partner beside Allah. But what is exposed to forgiveness? Any other sin. Any other sin to whom Allah pleases. Okay? Because when a person commits a sin, he deserves the punishment. So, a person may be punished for his sin or may be forgiven. So we are not saying that all Muslims who committing sins other than shirk, they are going to be forgiven, they may be forgiven, and they may be punished for the sin. This up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ, and he forgave other than this to whom he wants, to whom he will. And this applies to major and minor things. Some people, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them even for their major sins. And some of the people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them in the day of the judgment, and remember such and such act, he did such and such, he said, yes Allah. So Allah said to him, in the dunya I have cover, I have shelter you. and now I'll forgive it to you. And some people, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even punished them for their minor sins. This is His ibad, they are His slaves, He do whatever He wants with them. Okay? Shirk is not something minor. And people shouldn't take the matter of shirk to be something simple, not a big deal. Because shirk will spoil your iman, will spoil and corrupt your heart. And if your intention is corrupted, that means your deed will be corrupted. Because all the deeds are rewarded according your intention. So if your heart is corrupted as a result of shirk, now your intention is corrupted, and this means that your deed is corrupted. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, "Innamal a'malu binniyat." Indeed, deeds are rewarded according your intention. So when you have shirk, now everything is corrupted. Because with shirk, no forgiveness. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this verse, okay, surah number 9, surah al-Tawbah, surah repentance. This surah number 9, and this is verse 128-129. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمِ. And this is something very beautiful in this verse. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us that He has sent a messenger similar to us. That means a human being like us. He's not an angel, he's not a jinn. So it's from your own nature. Okay, a human being like you. And this is from the blessings of Allah, from the favor of Allah, that He sent someone that we can communicate with Him, that we can understand Him, that we can observe and see Him with our own eyes, so we can be able to imitate Him. He can communicate to us. And who also have the same feeling like us, okay? So what hurts you can hurt Him, okay? What grieves you, grieve Him. But if it's a different nature, it's not going to relate to the same thing. So this is one thing, first about the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he has the same nature, like you. And what else? He said, عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ. It grieves him that you should receive any injury. Okay? See how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. Anything disturb you, anything annoyed you, it bothers the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was very, very sensitive. He was very, very concerned person. Okay? So he was not only a human being like us, but Allah gave him this sensitivity to be so concerned about anything that disturbs the believer. Allah said, it grieved him, it saddened him, to make him sad and feel bad, that you should receive any injury or difficulty. Okay? So if Allah witnessed to His Prophet in the Quran saying this, how do you think that people can be running away from the Sunnah? How the Prophet ﷺ will order you something, or recommended something for you to do it, and you say, oh, this is too much for me. Or I could not do this. This is too much. The Prophet ﷺ only for a toothbrush that he wet. Nothing. It's something very simple. People now paying money to have toothbrush and toothpaste. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the knowledge and the wisdom to understand the importance of the siwak. And he says, لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقْ عَلَى أُمَّتِي. If I don't see it to be a difficulty for my ummah, I will command them to use the miswak at every time of prayer. But he didn't make it a must, he make it recommended. You see? So when we find something the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make it a must, we have to understand that never the intention of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to burden us by things. Okay? Never. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did certain things and he forbid the Sahaba to do the same. Okay? Like Wusal as a gambling. Maghrib comes, sunset, he didn't break his fast in some time. And some of the Sahaba tried to do this, he said no, you could not. I'm a different from you in this category. Okay? Allah takes care of me. Alright? So, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did certain things for himself, but he forbid the people. When these three people came to his house, and one of them, he said, I'm going to pray all the night. The other person said, I will fast every day. The other person say, I stay away from my wife. The Prophet ﷺ rejected and objected it. So Allah describing the Prophet ﷺ agreed to him that you should receive any energy, any injury or difficulty. So you never, never claim that the teaching of the Prophet ﷺ is a burden or a hardship. Muhammad ﷺ, he, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is anxious over you to be rightly guided, to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. And especially towards the believer, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Ra'uf and Rahim. صلى الله عليه وسلم. And when you say رؤوف, الرأفة is the highest form of mercy. رأفة being very very tender and very sensitive. And the highest formality of a mercy. And mercy is to have a soft heart, which make you care for others and try to help others. And as a result of this, you try to bring good to them and to keep the harm away from them. And this, when we're talking about rahma and ra'fa, related to the creation of Allah, the human being. As for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember that nothing resembles Allah, nothing similar to Allah, and the rahmah of Allah is absolutely different from the rahmah of the human being. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses 100 parts of rahmah. He sent down one part among the creation and the creature. So the creation of Allah and the creature of Allah been sharing this one single part since Allah has created them until the day of the judgment. All the creation and all the creatures of Allah, all of them, they sharing only one part of Allah's mercy. Since Allah has created them until the day of judgment. To such a degree that the animal will lift her foot or its foot not out of fear of hurting its baby. Even cows, donkeys, horses, they share in this part. To such a degree from the horse or the donkey or the cow removing her foot this side or this side because don't want to hurt her baby. So who can imagine Allah's mercy? If this is only one part, how we can imagine Allah's mercy? And it comes the day of judgment, Allah will shower His creation with the 99 portion of His mercy, which is addition to the other part that He had sent it down for them to share. By no means we can compare the mercy of the human being to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to stop here inshallah, because it's time for Salah. We appreciate your participation, and inshallah, hopefully that we try to start the class a little bit early, because Maghrib is getting early now. So if we can start the class at 6:30 next week, I will appreciate this. And inshallah, we'll continue next week from chapter 22. Thank you for listening. Jazakumullah khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit all of us with what we heard. And we'd like to thank our brothers and sisters from Quran and the Sunnah website who had shared this class with us. And our greeting to all of you from Masjid al-Muslimin Islamic Center of Columbia, South Carolina, United States. I'm your host, Muhammad Sayyid Adli. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu alayk.